Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
I've ruled out uni because I want to live at home.
I've ruled out uni because I want to earn money.
I've ruled out uni because of my grades.
Study with the Open University and there's no need to rule out anything. With our respected degrees, you can learn from home and work alongside study. We're open to all. Plus, you'll have the support of expert tutors. So rethink your future with the degree you didn't think was possible. The Open University. The future is open.
Guess what, folks? L.A. Marzulli's here, and he knows everything about the Kandahar Giants.
Name high, because we're talking about the end of the world as well.
And we're going to talk about the existence of portals in your Bible. You can check it out yourself, or just keep watching, because, yeah, we do that here. No worries.
This podcast was brought to you and empowered by Sunday Cool.
Watch this.
Or listen.
Empowered. LA in the house, Mr. LA Marzulli.
Yo. Woo! Yo.
The legend.
Oh, please. The legend. Oh, please.
So excited you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, hey. This is awesome.
I love the deer head, by the way.
Thanks.
Does he have a name?
Wilfred. Wilfred, yeah.
Wilfred. Will, how you doing, bud? Okay.
He's our protector.
Have you had a busy week this week?
It's been very busy with Charisma. I flew in on Monday, and then we hit the ground running Tuesday and Wednesday. Met all these wonderful people, did lots of interviews, and got to interview Jonathan Kahn.
So, nice.
Yeah, all that was really cool.
Yeah.
Really great.
Do you like doing interviews, traveling a lot?
The Lord redirected our steps, to get serious here, but the Lord redirected our steps around January of this year. And I basically canceled 16 conferences.
Wow.
He said, focus on The Daily Show.
Wow.
And that's what we're doing. Focusing on The Daily Show, the films, and the books.
That's awesome.
It's all good. Yeah.
Dope. I'm excited to talk about that stuff. And in the background, we got John and Chad from Charisma. Our live audience. This is 2 weeks in a row with a live audience.
Hey, let's get used to it.
More pressure.
Putting up bleachers and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's just get right into it, right?
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. We hope if there's anything you want to talk about today, this is completely your platform.
Okay.
Have fun with it.
Thank you. I have a really great recipe. Eggplant parmesan.
Perfect.
I'd like to share that. That's what we were hoping for.
I'm just kidding. We heard rumors, and now we're excited.
Now we know. Okay.
Now we get
Marzulli
the good
eggplant.
Yep,
parmesan.
That's it. It's coming.
Yeah.
Well, hey, LA, would you like a song?
Do you like songs?
You know, I've heard about the songs.
We like to dabble.
Dabbling is good.
Yeah. Every time we have a special guest, we like to do a special song in honor of them.
And I love it. I was a worship leader for 25 years.
Oh, hey, perfect.
So you're familiar.
I'll be taking notes.
All right.
No, please do, because we're pros.
Yeah. Is there a type of genre you'd like thinking of?
Reggae?
All right.
Oh, reggae.
Can we just sing reggae?
All right. That's right up our alley. Yeah. That's perfect.
Down here in the island of Tavares, boy.
Okay, L.A.
Marzulli, bro.
L.A. Marzulli in the house. Gonna be a good time.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, man.
All right, so reggae.
Yeah, it's
we'll
reggae.
Come up exactly with reggae.
Yep. All right. Got it. I think I've got the melody in my head already.
All right, let's do this.
They speak of him in low voices, not in cities, not on your glowing screens, but in the caverns beneath the old world, where the watchers still whisper. He's seen the bones that should not exist. He's held the skulls they said were myths. He knows the bloodlines, the covenants, the cover-ups, and he names them without flinching. Where others tremble at nights in the sky, he walks toward them. With a veil between worlds thin, he tears it open. To some, he is a menace. To others, a prophet. But to the things that crawl in the shadow, he is a threat. They've tried to silence him, but he keeps digging. And now they say, even the Nephilim speak his name with fear. UFO beams, try to pick him up, but the aliens, they have no luck. Giants tremble when he comes around, they all run in fear at the sound of his name. They are scared, don't know what to do, but if they all fear him, you should too. For all the creatures thinking they can fool thee, you see yourself, cause they're L.A. Mazzulli. L.A. Mazzulli. L.A. Mazzulli.
That was perfect. I can't believe I missed up the last line.
Oh, that was genius.
Yeah, step over, Bob Marley. Oh, we're coming for you.
Yeah. Every time you walk in a room, that now has to play.
I love the lyrics.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
I mean, they're true, right?
No, they're really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Oh, man.
We had to bring out the big guns.
That part always makes me the most nervous. My wife, when we have guests on, she's like, I cannot believe you guys sing to these people.
I'm like a secondhand embarrassment kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh,
we pulled it off, though. That was fine. I feel like that was great.
No, it was great.
Yeah,
really
it pumped
cool.
me up.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's perfect.
Nice. We have fun, right?
We have a great time.
Yeah.
We're all goofing around.
We are goofing. But unfortunately, Mr. Marzulli, we have to take a step back. We have to get serious for a minute.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we do like to have fun.
I don't trust these guys at all.
I hope we can trust you.
You can't go.
We have to answer these questions, unfortunately. We get these questions sent in by viewers, and it's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah. We
struggle with them.
Yeah. We have viewers all across the globe that come with certain interests and questions they want answered, and they look to us.
They do.
Rightly so.
For our wisdom.
Absolutely.
I'll just get on with it.
Yeah. I mean, just get it out. Just get it. That way we can go into the things that we want to talk about.
And like, I know this question, like, I know that they've done a lot of wrong and that they've hurt people, you know. But Ellie Marzulli, today's question sent in by a viewer. Oh. Is it right for us to want the Giants to succeed?
Yes or no?
Is it right for us to want the Giants to succeed?
No.
Dang.
This is disappointing. I've been looking forward to this episode for a really long time.
LA, and I mean.
And now.
And of course, we're talking about the New York Giants. And
absolutely.
We just.
And we're all big diehard fans.
We're huge fans, LA. We're the number one fans of the Giants, the New York Giants. And they've tried hard. They've done it for years.
I love it.
They do a lot for impoverished communities.
A lot.
Yeah.
They help the communities. They
turkeys.
They encourage. There's something to believe in. A team to root for. It kind of just sounds like you're a bad sportsman.
Guys, you got me. You totally got me.
This is so disappointing.
I don't know.
That was a trick question, too.
I don't
think it was that's not even fair.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I mean, is it right for us to want the Giants, obviously the New York Giants, to succeed.
Yeah. And he immediately said no.
Said no.
Immediately.
He doesn't care about those people, I guess. He doesn't care about the sports franchise. He doesn't care about the NFL, these families.
Jeez.
So sad.
He wants them to fail.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. We thought LA would be a fan of cheering on sports.
Regardless of his favorite team, we should all succeed at one point in our lives.
Yeah, do your best. That's our message. Well, I guess you guys are here first. LA doesn't think we should support them. Giants.
It's so sad.
No,
it's
succeeding for them.
So welcome to the show.
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of gonna change the rules of the world. I said, empty your mind.
You learn martial arts.
Ha! Ninjas are
dead! That was a hard one.
That was a good one, though. That was good.
Trick question. A lot
yeah.
of
yeah. yeah. We well usually done. Have his wife in well that seat, done. And we gaslight her every yeah. every week, and
yeah,
it gets harder and harder.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great.
So no matter what, whoever we have in here, we have to gaslight.
Yeah,
so,
and we felt bad about it, so we apologize.
We apologize.
And I'm a Cowboys fan for all those out there. Okay. I know, that was hard for me to admit, but
yeah, Dolphins fan here.
Yeah, not a fan.
not I a hope fan they too. Don't succeed at all.
There you go.
Oh man, LA, so cool you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah,
good to be here.
Yeah,
we're having fun.
Yeah, for sure. If for those though of our viewers or listeners who've never. Maybe read one of your books or maybe are not familiar with you. Like, how would you just give us a little, maybe kind of like a quick bio of your life and what you specialize in? What makes your life so interesting?
I've been a worship leader for 25 years and then the Lord began to move me out of that. And I read a book when I was 40 years old, which changed my life. Dr. I.D.E. Thomas's book, The Omega Conspiracy, completely changed my life because as a brand new Christian, I'm reading in Genesis with these Nephilim and the flood stuff. And I'm going, first of all, why is this loving God wiping everybody out? I had no answer. Mm. And then when you get to the promised land, you know, later on, the conquest of Canaan, it's like, I got the Bible like this. I'm ready to throw it up against the wall. This is genocide. I had no idea. That was 1980. I became a Christian.
Wow.
So, you know, from 80 to 90, it's 10 years as a worship leader and trying to figure out what's going on. And then right around that time, I got the Omega Conspiracy, changed my life. I contacted Dr. I.D.E. Thomas and set me on the trail and to what we do now. There's like 32 films, 14 books. Number 15 is coming out this year.
That's awesome.
And we're working on 16 and 17. We're working on the Trail of the Nephilim number 9, which I can talk a little bit about, but it's mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely mind-boggling what's going on. We're doing DNA testing ongoing of the Paraca skulls, which again is new information. There's a byline I use. There's a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world. That's why I'm on the trail. I did not sign up for this. I had no idea that this is what the Lord wanted me. I'm a musician, classically trained, worship leader for 25 years. And the Lord said, yeah, that's good. This is great. But that's not what you're here for. And then he shifted. Let me tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
So Russ Dizdar, who passed away a few years ago, we were at 90 conferences together. We were battle buddies. We met at a conference, and that was it. It was like, oh, my gosh. And we talked, like I said, at 90 conferences. So years ago, I'm headed to a conference in Ohio. Russ calls me up. You had to know Russ, but when he started to laugh a certain way, he had something up his sleeve. He goes, L.A., do you know where you're going? I go, yeah, I'm going to Ohio. He starts laughing, that little mischievous laugh. And he goes, are you by your computer? I go, yeah. And he goes, type in Fritz Zimmerman, Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. I go, what? What are you, Fallen Angels where? So I type it in. There's the book. I order it. Next day I have a 6-hour plane because I got to change planes from California to Ohio. So I get the PDF or the Kindle and I'm reading that on the plane. It's like, nye. And I get there and I'm doing the conference. And I'm figuring at this point that I'm done with this whole thing, right? Because the Nephilim trilogy, which is fiction, I figured I was done. And so I talked to the driver and I go, hey, where's this great circle mound thing? And he goes, oh, we go by it every day. And so we go by it. And sure enough, there's the sign, you know, Newark Earthworks. And I go, look, I got free time tomorrow, Sunday. So drop me off here around 3:00. And he does. Next day, it's Sunday. He drops me off. There's not a car in the parking lot. I'm the only person on the site. Dang. It's like, this is a divine appointment. and there's a 4-foot asphalt pathway that leads you up to the site. And as I'm walking up, even now I'm talking about it, I'm getting chills. There's the mound on the left, the great circle mound. It's like 1,200 feet over that in diameter. Things
wow. huge.
And the walls are like 20 feet, 30 feet in the air. And I'm looking at this thing going, oh, my gosh. And I get up to the top, and I'm going to enter into the circle mound because it rings around like this, and there's the opening, the gateway to the circle mound. And I'm standing there, and I look to my right, and there's the museum. It's closed. Not a soul there. Nobody there. And I walk to the gate, and I stand in the gateway. And at this point, something supernatural happens. I start hyperventilating. I'm like this. And I'm frozen. And my eyes are just darting around going like this. And I realize I am looking at the rest of my life. I am looking at the rest of my life. This is what I will be doing for the rest of my life. Oh. And we've got all these films. There's 8 films on the Amma Trail of the Nephilim. You've got the book there,
yeah.
Amma Trail of the Nephilim. We did this study of the elongated Paraka skulls. We're still Amma Trail. We're still doing stuff. And, you know, it's all his doing. It's all the Lord that orchestrated it. So
how was that calling? Were you resistant at first? Or was that in that moment where you're describing, is that was kind of like, I know for a fact this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people get that?
Yeah.
You know, this is where you're going, and I will be with you every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when I get into trouble is when I get ahead of him and start doing stuff that I didn't tell you to do that, which is a whole other story.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Lord speaks, the Lord guides.
So you think those mounds in Ohio, they had to do with the Nephilim potentially?
All day long.
Really?
All day long.
Wow.
Absolutely all day long. I just procured an axe head, a double axe head. It's about like this. You know, you want to wield that? You want to go out and cut down a tree with that thing? There are axe heads, which are 30 pounds. There are lances, which we call the Nephilim lance. There were the bones of the giants. Thank you very much. All throughout the area. And give you an idea. Cahokia is the largest mound in the United States. All right. It's the largest mound. I've been there like 3 or 4 times. And when you look at it, you just kind of go, who wakes up on a Monday morning and does this? You're looking at 450,000 tons of earth. So let's just count to 1,000. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
450,000 tons of earth to create Cahokia. The plaza is dead level to within 4 inches, and it's over 40 acres. How was that done?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you look at that, and you go, well, that's a lot of dirt. And so if there's another site, and it's called Fort Ancient. It's in Ohio. And Fort Ancient is about 250,000 tons of earth. It's not as big as Cahokia. It's 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls. 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls.
Wow.
It's built on an 18-and-a-half-year lunar metonic cycle. It's charged. Native Americans had nothing to do with this. And yet we're told that, you know, deer antlers, stuff like this, primitive hoes, birch bark baskets, not buying it for a second. So if you were going to take the 250,000 tons of earth, and put those in dump trucks, okay, put them in dump trucks. So you're going to deconstruct those 3.5 miles of earthen mounds.
Yeah.
Deconstruct it, put them in dump trucks, park the dump trucks end to end, 200 miles of dump trucks.
Wow.
I'm not making this up. 200 miles of dump trucks.
And we're told by historians that it was just Native Americans that did this.
Nonsense.
And is that the only theory that they threw out there?
Yeah. And the thing is, the Native Americans say over and over again, we didn't do this.
Yeah.
It was here when we got here. So who do we believe? The First Nation people who were there and saw this? We've got it on the record. People coming into the Ohio Valley going, who did this? And Natives going, we don't know. It was here when we got here. But all that's, it's a managed agenda because it goes against the biblical prophetic narrative. It points back to a supernatural worldview, which the Darwinists don't like the archaeologists don't like, but they've got everything in a nice little bow. Our DNA evidence on the Paraka skulls jumping from North America down to Paracas, Peru, shows a Middle Eastern origin. How the heck is it possible? Wow. The skull that we're working on now, the C14, carbon-14 dating, goes back 800 years. That's pre-Columbian. So what's that doing with the Middle Eastern haplogroup, mitochondrial DNA, from the mother side of the family? What's that doing in Peru if it's 800 years old? Shouldn't be there. Mm. Why is it elongated? Why are the orbits 25 to 30% larger than a normal human being? Why is it that there's no sagittal suture? And on and on and on it goes. They won't look at it. Oh, the DNA is all contaminated. If it's contaminated, why the heck didn't we get nuclear DNA? Never get nuclear DNA. So we've done 2 samples on this. We're doing another run right now as we speak.
Mm.
But that particular skull shows, I'll just give you an example. A Neanderthal is 99.5% exactly the same as a modern human being, their DNA. A chimpanzee and a gorilla, 98.5 identical to a modern human being. The Paraca skull, 96.5.
Yeah, it's huge.
What are we looking at here, folks?
Wow.
Crazy.
Interesting. Thoughtless. Listen, Josh, it's fall season.
Tell me about it.
And I know how much you love playing football and hunting in the woods.
You know I can't get enough of that pigskin, the great outdoors.
I know it. And with all that activity, you're probably working up quite the sweat, huh?
Am I ever?
Well, guess what? I got something to show you.
What is it?
It's Mando.
Mando?
Yes, sir. Mando sent us these wonderful products. And I can tell you by personal experience, I've been using them. They're pretty great.
Wait a second. It says 72 hours odor and sweat control?
Yep. The deodorant was started by a doctor, by the way, and it's created to stop the odor before it even starts.
I mean, they got a whole deodorant, body spray, wipes, body wash?
Yep, and a whole lot more. But the best part is that Mando only uses premium ingredients. And these products are clinical strength.
I wouldn't have to worry about these embarrassing sweat stains anymore.
No, sir, and your terrible smell.
What?
And what's really cool is Mando is having a special offer for our listeners. New customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code.
That's right. Use ninjas at shopmando.com for 20% off site-wide plus free shipping.
S-H-O-P-M-A-N-D-O.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Mando's got you covered with deodorant plus sweat control. Say goodbye to sweat stains and say hello to long-lasting freshness.
Mando!
Mando!
Have you come across, I'm sure you have, actually I know you have, the Nazca mummies and stuff that they've found fairly recently within the past couple of years?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the elongated skulls, yeah. the three fingers yeah. on each hand. What's your thought on those?
Tim and I talked about it. Tim Alberino and I talked about it.
Oh, cool.
It. I think it's a construct. I think it's a hoax, and I'll tell you why. I've been down that road. I got fooled with the fairy, but everybody got fooled by the fairy. You know, geneticists got fooled by it, doctors, medical doctors, labs, x-rays. I mean, I took the x-ray to a veterinarian in Malibu and said, what do you think? And he goes, yeah, it looks real. And we debunked it once we got it out of Mexico and we dissected the thing and we go, it's a construct. Mm. I think these are constructs. I can't prove that because I haven't seen it yet.
Sure.
But this is what I think's happening. The mummies are real. Absolutely real. Elongated skulls, the whole deal, it's all real. All right. So it's a five-fingered mummy. You cut the thumb off, you cut the pinky off, right? And you elongate these three fingers. Then you cover the whole thing in this white plaster thing, and there you go. Mm. There's your hoax. We don't know the origin. Tim says they do know, but it's being kept secret. You know, there's never any provenance. And without provenance, you don't know what you're looking at because it could be a construct. Show me the stinking cave. It's just like all the artifacts coming out of Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen all those things with the alien heads and this and that. And they're all modern fakes, in my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion, they're completely modern fakes. There's never any provenance. You don't see the artifact in situ, laying there on the shelf of the cave or being buried and being, you know, uncovered.
I see.
And that's everything.
Yeah.
What would be the motive, you think? What's the largest motive for a lot? Yeah, money.
Money.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. All comes down to the bottom.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. Mm. And they steer a narrative, and then when the hoax is finally proven, see, just like the fairy, there are some people, unfortunately, that's all they think of. Oh, Marzulli got fooled by the fairy. No, because in my book, which you have right there, I write in my book, more testing needs to be done.
What is the fairy?
The fairy was this, let me sit up here, dope. And thank you, Bart. And the fairy was this, so Richard Shaw, my former business partner, he passed away a few years ago. Now Gil Zimmerman and I are, you know, doing these films. I see you got Squatch over there, and that's great.
Yeah.
It's a great picture. I love it. So Rick and I fly down to Mexico to interview Jaime Maussan. Jaime Maussan is like, you know, Mr. Mexican UFO guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jaime. He's a great guy. So Jaime's got this show he's got to go do. And so he goes flying up to the fourth floor and does the show. But in the meantime, he goes, Marzulli, Shaw, look at this. And he reaches up to the cabinet, pulls down this glass jar, completely clear, about this tall, with a liquid in it, with this thing in it, puts it down on the table and runs out of the room. Rick and I are going like, you have got to be kidding me. Here's this head of a demon, the thing's about this big, wings, a tail that looks like a scorpion, and we're going, this is unbelievable. And Reese got the camera out. We're filming, and this whole thing. Jaime comes back down after like an hour. Oh, yeah, you know, I got it from this. This is a story. They shot this thing, and we found it, and we're doing, we did all this tests. We did DNA testing. It's real, it's real, it's real. And so we went with it. Mm. We went with it. But in the book, I say more testing needs to be done. So the book was published. About 6 months later, we got the ferry out of Mexico. We got it out of Mexico. Now we're in on a Saturday morning.
Imagine that at the border stop. Yeah. Anything to declare?
Not really. Yeah. Just nothing. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. So we get this thing, and we're at a veterinarian's office. There's three vets. First thing we do is we take it out of the jar of formaldehyde, put it on a plastic tray, do the x-rays. We're all looking at it. There's three veterinarians there. They're all trained. They look at the x-ray and they go, looks real. One guy goes, yeah, but the pelvis looks weird. And I go, yeah, but look where the bird shot is. Yeah. The bird shot's right by the pelvis. He goes, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that skewed the pelvis. Yeah. So everybody's on the same page. Mm-hmm. We all think it's real. You know, Rick is going, oh my God, we're all freaking out. The vets are freaking out. And about an hour goes by, and parts of the ferry are on this little plastic tray. And I kind of go, I look down and I go, that doesn't look right. And I take the forceps and I pick up this bone thing and I hold it up to the vet and I go, what's this look like? And the vet goes, that looks like epoxy on the end of a matchstick.
Oh.
And that's when we went back to the x-ray and then we could see it. And we realized it was a construct. There's no skullduggery on my part. I'm on the phone with Prophecy Watchers. I'm on the phone with Skywatch TV. You know, we're on the phone with Jaime Masson. It's a fake. It's a construct. 2 days later, we're at the Natural History Museum up in Santa Barbara with a taxidermist and a naturalist who shows us how this thing was done. Pulls it, and it's all on film, and then we release the film, Anatomy of a Hoax, for free. So how is that? You know, this is real research. This is what research, but those who are, and you guys know what that's like, those who are against you, the naysayers, will always be blabbing something stupid, but that's the truth. That's what, and you can go to our YouTube channel and watch it for free.
I think Anatomy of a Hoax. That's super cool though, that you guys, because a lot of people that are, I feel like, that are in this realm, they want something to be real so bad that they'll just not even test it or not even
or ignore the facts.
Ignore the facts. And that it's, I mean, that's, you guys are doing the right thing of like testing it, you know?
Thank you.
I think it's rad.
Yeah. I mean, science changes all the time, their mind all the time. So it's like, that's the whole point of doing that research.
That's research.
Like, that's the whole point.
That's real research. It's just like the Paraca skulls. That's why we're doing right now, as we speak, there are samples at a lab and they're being tested. And we've already done it twice. So this is the third time. And the geneticist who's working on it has already outlined a peer review paper, which we'll probably publish in January, February next year, hold a press conference and go, you know, we're just tired of being told we're pseudo-archaeologists. We're tired of being told that we're pseudo-scientists. What difference does it make whether I'm a Christian, Jew, Muslim, or a heathen? If I have this artifact and I take a sample and I stick it into the machine, that machine could care less what I believe, what my worldview is. Yeah. It spits out the data. Right. And that's what we're showing. If the C14 data didn't come back 800 years, okay, let's all go home. It comes back 800 years. That's pre-Columbian. Pre-Columbian. And the haplogroup, the mitochondrial DNA coming from the mother side of the equation, shows that it's Eastern European. It rewrites history. But the real archaeologists and the real scientists and the Darwinists don't like that because you have to change the history books.
Right.
You have to rewrite history. And the problem is you've got, in archaeology, you've got two schools of thought. You've got isolationists and diffusionists. Isolationists believe nobody does anything. We all sit here for thousands of years. Maybe we move a mile this way or a mile that way. Diffusionists go, nonsense. There's a river. I'm a 16-year-old Native American living in somewhere in the Midwest, and there's a river, and I'm not going to make a canoe and go down that thing and see where it goes. I'll be back in a month. You know, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you? Seriously?
Isn't the Smithsonian known for the isolationists, like where they believe Native Americans were just so separated?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In fact, they could have been.
They trade.
Yeah, to even potentially long. Worldwide.
I've heard it is worldwide.
Yeah.
It is worldwide.
That's rad.
I mean, we look at the Göbekli Tepe. Like, yeah. That's the simple as, like, we're not touching it. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
It's the oldest civilization, like, sign of civilization in, of all time, apparently. And it's like,
yeah.
And we're not digging down deep and figuring out what this actually is.
Really stupid. And the leapfrog from Göbekli Tepe to Egypt, I interviewed the two scientists who came up with the findings with the satellites going over. Multiple passes, two different satellites, and there's something underneath the Giza plateau.
You interviewed those guys?
Yeah, I interviewed them. I interviewed them. And I've interviewed them twice, actually, and we're in communication. The bottom line is they don't want that because it blows Zawi Hawass, pyramid, right out of the water, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, Mr. Hawass has got to do a major backpedal,
yeah.
And he doesn't want to do that. It rewrites history. They don't want to rewrite history. If that holds up and it's holding up, I believe it's pre-flood.
Mm.
It happened around the Younger Dryas period, about 12,000 years ago. And I get it. The biblical literature is 6,000 years old, and I'm not moving from this. Okay, fine. But what if it's older? What if after the flood, at the time as we know it, kind of changed? So, you know, Mr. Unger, with all due respect to you, sir, it's a little older because we've got places like Göbekli Tepe. And here's something to think about. This will blow you away because it blows me away just even talking about it. All these sites are abandoned, and they're covered over.
Yeah.
And no one knows why or who or anything else. They're covered over.
What's your theory on that?
It's deliberate. It's part of the war. I got chills. It's part of the war.
What war?
The war between good and evil. Between the fallen ones, the dragon, and the Most High God.
Wow.
Yeah. Wherever you go, it's the same story. You can go at any site. Well, we're here at Teotihuacan, Mexico, and we really don't know what these people call themselves, but we're going to call them the Teotihuacanos. We don't know who built this, but we believe that due to famine and climate change, you'll hear that all over.
Yeah.
Due to climate change, the Teotihuacanos abandoned the site and assimilated into the indigenous population. You never hear that. You never hear a peep from the indigenous population. We have no record of that. Same thing in Ohio. Same, wherever I go, it's the same story. The oldest city in the Americas, it's in the book. It's a place called Corral. It's like 5,000 years old, maybe 6,000 years old. It's got pyramids. It's got a leveled plaza. It's got steles. It's got a place that looks exactly like Chaco Canyon. It looks like a kiva. Oh, you're not allowed. When I was there, you can't go up there. You can't go see that.
Where's it located?
It's in Peru, about three hours north of Lima. It's unbelievable. And it's the oldest city in the Americas. There's no pre-existing culture, and this whole thing just goes poink, and it's there. And no one knows who they were or where they came from. And there's ritualistic sacrifice, human sacrifice, done on the site. And you'll see that no matter where you go.
Yeah.
It's always the same thing.
Yeah. That's
crazy, isn't it?
So fun.
Yeah. You said about 50 words I didn't understand, but
I'm sorry.
I'm connecting the dots. So.
Yeah, I'm using a lot of context clues right now. Yeah. You know.
You're doing great with it. We were told to ask you about bovine blood. Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's
okay,
like,
Tony Merkel, right.
Just ask him about bovine blood. I'm like, that's a weird thing to ask anybody.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, boys, you got yourself a cow over here, and that cow's got bovine blood. That's what he is. He's a cow. I don't know where this accent's coming from, but I'm running with it. So here's the deal. People are being taken. They're being abducted. We have 10 films on the UFO phenomena. One of them is on the abduction phenomena, where people were taken. Sperm is taken from the men. Ovum is taken from the women. Sometimes women are groomed. We published a book on this, Stolen Seed, Evil Harvest, by Karen Wilkinson. They're taken, they're abducted, and they're impregnated. But it's not a human seed. And that seed that's in them begins to grow. And on the third month of pregnancy, right around that time, they're re-abducted, and that hybrid entity is removed, and there's never a trace. Never a trace. How is that done? But that entity needs to live somewhere in order to grow into fruition, right? That little baby, little entity, hybrid baby, needs to go into an artificial womb.
Incubate.
That's what I was looking for. So most people don't know this. Bovine blood can be used in a human transfusion. They're interchangeable. So let's say they ran out of your blood type. They can use bovine blood from a cow. Cattle mutilations have been going on forever, for decades. They take the parts from the cow. They take the sexual organs, sometimes organs around the eye, the ear, the tongue. They take all this. This is conjecture, but it's based on decades of research. They are creating artificial wombs for these hybrid babies to go into. Artificial wombs, bovine blood, all the parts of the cow, artificial wombs. And in our film on this, on cattle mutilations, we actually show in 2024, Japanese were creating artificial wombs.
Yeah, we actually just talked about it yesterday. China is making breakthroughs with artificial wombs.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's not, and this is, and then you take all that. L.A., what does this have to do with the Bible? I'm not seeing any salvation message here at all, L.A. And, you know, we can talk about that, but this is the deep end of the pool. Salvation is way over here. Salvation is when we, you know, we, okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I believe that you rose from the dead. That's it. I'm in. This is the deep end of the pool. Daniel 2:43 says, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. Whose seed? Whose seed are we talking about? And that book of Daniel is sealed up until the time of the end. It's sealed up. No one will understand it, but we understand it now. Whose seed are we talking about? Their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave. The word cleave comes, I got this from my friend Jim Williamson. It's a marriage contract, no marriage contract, which is exactly what we see with the current abduction phenomena. People are taken. There is no marriage. They take what they want. They take the sperm. They take the ovum. They take the child. They do whatever they want to do. And this is the work of the fallen ones. Jesus warns us he'd be like the days of Noah. Now, think about this. When he says that 2,000 years ago, everyone in earshot knows exactly what he's talking about. Oh, he means the Nephilim, the days of Noah. Why? Josephus tells us that the bones of the Nephilim were openly on display in Jerusalem at the time of when Jesus was there.
Really?
It was, yeah, it's not in the Temple Mount, but it's on the way to the Temple Mount, guaranteed. Guaranteed it's on the way. Conjecture on my part. Is Jesus talking to the disciples and going, it'll be like the days of Noah, and gesturing to the giants that are displayed? Possible. I'm not saying it happened, but it's possible. He had to be somewhere, so why not there? Be like the days of Noah. Everyone knows exactly what Jesus is talking about because there is no Sethite theory. That doesn't come to the fourth century, where this guy Julius Africanus just pulls a theological rabbit out of his hat and goes, well, this is what it is. The sons of God have a godly line of Seth, and the women of earth are the Hoochie Mamas of Cain. Mm-hmm. But Hoochie Mama's not in the text, and Seth isn't either. Yeah. So what are we looking at? And right. He rewrites this whole thing. And if you're in seminary, you're taught the Sethite theory. But that wasn't invented to the fourth century. Everyone knows that the Nephilim bones, Josephus talks about it. They had voices and countenance so unlike normal human beings. No one knew what to do with these. And they were on display to show future generations what their forefathers cleared from the land.
Yeah, the New Testament references Enoch, even though it isn't in our scripture. So it was a normal thing for Enochian reference to happen, to your point.
And here's something interesting. You know, and I know, but you don't quote something unless it's your wheelhouse.
Right.
Unless
right.
It's in you. So this is a sort of a glib story. So Jude is Jesus' brother, right? Is it possible? This is total conjecture, folks, but why not, right? This is the way my crazy brain works.
We love it.
But so Jesus is hanging out with Jude and stuff, right? Before his ministry, and maybe he comes in with the scroll of Enoch. He goes, hey, I just got finished reading Enoch, Jude. You might want to look at this. It might serve you in the future. What if he did something like that?
Yeah.
Because Jude knows the book of Enoch. He's quoting it. It's in his wheelhouse. It's part of who he is. You don't quote something, you know, unless it's part of who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, think about how many times you have to watch a movie before it becomes something like exactly. You reference in relationship. Right.
Yeah.
Quite a few, more than a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, culturally, yeah. Just, yeah. You know, like, memorizing so much of the Old Testament was a part of their upbringing. And so what if that was part of their literature growing up?
I think it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get it. The book of Enoch is not canonical, but if you take chapter 6 of the book of Enoch and overlay it on chapter 6 of any Bible, they read, word for word, except instead of the sons of God, the angels of heaven, book of Enoch. the angels of heaven. And that's what the B'nai HaElohim actually translates. It translates angels. That's what it is. So the whole Sethite theory, look, if you were going to keep two things away from up-and-coming seminarians, people who want to be pastors, whatever, and the church at large, you take two things away. You take Genesis 3:15 away, which explains the entire biblical narrative, right? And you take the book of Enoch away, which supports that. Genesis 3:15 is the gateway to the Bible. If we don't understand that, now the proper exegesis of that, the proper interpretation of it, you don't understand that what's going on. Most of the church is completely oblivious to it because they've never studied Genesis 3:15, which says Adam and Eve are over here. They've done the unthinkable. They've sided with the dragon. Their DNA conjecture, their DNA has changed. They've done something, taken something into them. Now they're hiding from the Lord. Why would they do that? They realize they're naked. Why would they all of a sudden realize that they're naked? Why are they ashamed? That's why when Jesus hangs on the cross, there's no loincloth. He's naked. He's completely stripped of everything. He's up there naked. He bore our shame. That's what it's talking about. So Genesis 3:15, the dragon's over here. The instigator, Adam and Eve, are over here. Pre-incarnate Christ is in the garden, and he says this to the dragon, your seed, your offspring, I'll say it again, your seed, your offspring will be at war, at enmity with the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, the one coming from the woman, the proto-evangelium, the Messiah, will crush your head, you'll bruise his heel. It's the whole Bible.
Yep.
It's the whole thing. Get that. And when you get to, excuse me, when you get to the flood of Noah three chapters later, you understand, oh my God, but seed war, it's here. It's manifesting in ways that only eight people survive this thing. That's it. Everybody else is destroyed because they've got something corrupt happen to their genome, something. And Ham's wife did not get on the ark with the Nephilim gene. No, it's a second, third, fourth incursion. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Why? To contaminate the gene pool so Messiah won't be born, dragon's head won't be crushed, and the rest is history. But that's not what happens. That's not what happens. So when you get to the Tower of Noah's Ark, there's that Genesis 3:15 screaming at you. Tower of Babel, same thing. When you get to Abraham and the four kings, five kings, same exact thing. Why is this going on? When you finally get to Sodom and Gomorrah, oh, this God of the Old Testament is wrathful and vengeful. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is the Nephilim stronghold. Finally, the conquest of Canaan, and Lord gave me this about 2 years ago. Think of what's there. You've got the seed war from Genesis 3:15 fully blown, fully manifested. You've got, remember Abraham, we're going to make, so 450 years later, right? Abraham's seed is on the gateway to the promised land, which reminds me to tell you about the cursed tablet.
Cursed tablet.
Okay. Remind me to tell cursed you about
tablet.
The cursed tablet. So millions of Israelites are there. It's Abraham's seed, but 12 tribes. They're there. This is the seed war. Who's in the land? The Nephilim, the Anakim, the Zanzumim, the Emims. You know, they're all there. The Rephaim. What are they? They're all Nephilim tribes. This is the seed war fully manifesting, full blown. Here it is. And they go at it. And this creates, circling back to the what happened in Peru, this creates the diaspora. This creates this Western migration, and also possibly through the South, across the Pacific. That's what we think too. But Thor Heyerdahl, in the film we show this, Thor Heyerdahl built a replica of a papyrus boat, and just no map, no compass, no nothing, ran up a sail and basically went from the Rock of Gibraltar right around in that area. And just, okay, let's see where we go. He winds up in Barbados, the island of the island of Barbados, which is in the New World. Sometimes I get ahead of myself.
No, you're good.
So, sorry, folks. But, yeah, he winds up in the island of Barbados, proving that without a compass, without a map, without anything, the trade winds take you to the New World. What's... And yet, well, that can't possibly happen because, you know, we're isolationists, by golly, by gee. And we say it's nonsense. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
Because they did it. So circling back to the promised land, right? There was an altar found in Israel, and it's why is my mind blank? Lord, please help me. Joshua's altar. Thank you, Lord. Ask and you will receive. Gee, it's amazing how that works. So Joshua's altar was excavated, and they took the spoils from it, and But no one sifted the spoils. So they began to wet sift the spoils. They find this little lead tablet about that big, small little lead tablet, right? And they know that something's going on with this. So they go down and they start, because of computers and where we are, they're able to read what the script says. Joshua's altar is built right at the gateway to the promised land. And it says this, cursed, cursed, cursed. You will die. Cursed of Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed of Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, cursed, cursed.
Whoa.
Now, I was on
a positive Zoom. Vibes. Real positive vibes.
Dude. Yeah.
So I was on a Zoom call with the archaeologist in Israel when he did the presentation on this. And I threw a curveball and I said, I understand where it is. I understand I'm going against, but this is not to the people of Israel. This cursed tablet is to the people in the land. And also, when it says Yahweh, it's the first time that Yahweh is mentioned anywhere.
Wow.
Anywhere. And the archaeologists, we got to go back to school. What are we looking at here? It's all written in Proto-Canaanite, which, of course, I can't be, but they can. Cursed, 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 cursed of Yahweh. You will die cursed, 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 cursed. And that cursed tablet, and I told them this, and I had rabbis calling me up on this. In my opinion, this cursing is to the inhabitants of the land, which are of a seed of the dragon, which are of the Nephilim tribes, which were never supposed to be there.
Wow.
And, right, it just goes like this. Yeah. It just goes like this.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, the more you dig, it all just connects.
It like, does.
That's
it really
the cool
does.
Thing is that it's... People think, yeah, I just got to keep digging. You'll find holes here and there, but it just seems like everything's just laying perfectly.
I agree.
To avoid like any modern argument made against anyone who holds this thought, like where someone would say we're advocates of a genocide because of this sort of thinking. What do you do with like Rahab and Jericho and stories like that where people are redeemed if they are of the seed? What do you do in those sort of situations with this sort of worldview?
Isn't Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus?
Yep.
Right? She's a sex slave.
She's captive.
She's a captive. Gotcha. Do we have exactly that happening today? Yeah, we do. That's exactly what ISIS and all these crazy, right? That's what they do. They take the woman, they become sex slaves. She was a sex slave, in my opinion. I can't prove that, but that's why she's spared. And if she's in the genealogy of Jesus, they're guaranteed there is not an ounce, there's not a drop of Nephilim blood in her. He's pure in all her generations.
Mm. It's a mystery.
Yeah. So the Book of Enoch, and it talks about how basically the watchers were locked up, and it like kind of references it in Revelation, the Book of Revelation. Do you think that angels, there's still fallen angels that are not imprisoned?
Oh, absolutely.
Going around today?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we know that Michael and his angels fight with the dragon and his angels. Mm-hmm. So if there's no angels, how can they fight? That's future. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, look, the 200 watcher angels that are locked up in Tartarus. And remind me of the rabbit hole. We're going to go down to Tartarus. Just get me back there in case I go too deep and I can't find my way out. Guys, help! So, because it happens a lot. Especially at 75 years old. It's like, you know, it's just not the way it used to be. But I digress. You get Jesus is hanging on the cross and the crowd is going, come down, save yourself, come down. You saved others, save yourself, come down. Cause they know he can. Mary, the two Marys are there with John and who knows else, right? They're all waiting cause they know who he is. They know he's God.
Right.
They know he's God. The dragon's like, well, this is great. We just tortured the heck out of him. You know, now what's going to happen? How do you kill God? How can you kill God? Right? Nobody gets it. Nobody sees it. Nobody understands it. This is why the Marys are going, it's got to come down. This is why the crowd is jeering, come down. Come save yourself. Come. That's why they're doing it, because they know he can come down. Doesn't do it. And the dragon's going, yeah, he's going to come down in another 10 minutes here. Right? Doesn't come down. How do you kill God? You can't kill God. He's fully God and fully man. The body lays in the tomb for 3 days. The spirit, I got to be careful because I'll start crying. Mm-hmm. But this, yeah, because it's just, you know, it's the most cosmic thing ever. So the spirit and the soul fully God, fully man, go where? Go to Tartarus. What do they do there? They preach. It's a proclamation. Read Bullinger's paper on it. They proclaim, no jailbreak. You're not getting out. I got the keys. Checkmate. It's over. It's over. And that's it. And then he sets all the captives free in Abraham's bosom. But those angels are chained in gloomy dungeons. We know that from Jude. They're there. And that's, think about this. Where does he go? He goes right down there. It's a proclamation. It's an absolute proclamation, which is the most cosmic astounding thing. And then we just have a film on the Shroud of Turin. I think you guys have it. But he goes back into the tomb, and this creates the Shroud of Turin, which wasn't seen until 1898, which is a film what we just got done doing. And he goes back into his body, and his body levitates. Time and space, as we know it, stop for a very fraction of a second. Infinite, small. The shroud, gravity ceases to exist, and he reunites, and that creates the image on the shroud. And it's also the prototype of where we're going, because he's fully God and fully man. And that's what happens to us in the rapture. We are changed in a twinkling of an eye. Our DNA is changed. Because when we go up, that DNA has to be changed. Our sin nature has to be changed ahead of our arrival, because you can't go up there with your sin nature. It ain't going to happen. Otherwise, you're like Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. So what do I do now? So I think that twinkling of an eye, when it says change, our DNA is changed in a twinkling of an eye. Mm. And then we go up and we're going, gosh, no sin nature.
Wow.
Gosh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Pumps you up, doesn't it?
Pumps me way up. You know what also pumps me up?
What?
So we got that. Don't go anywhere. The creatures thinking they can fool thee. You've deceived yourself. Cause he's let's wrap this up. I got to pee.
Okay. Well, we're in the middle of an ad. You can't pee right now.
We started it?
Yes. We're live right now. This is the ad. This is what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to talk about the greatest company in the world, Sunday Cool.
Okay. Well, let's go. If you can explain it in, like, I don't know, 30 seconds.
It's not just my job to explain that Sunday Cool not only produces the softest t-shirts on the planet, but any type of promo items that you might need for your company, your church, or whatever. We do stickers. We do hats. You know all this. Now you do some.
Well, I mean, it's. I wasn't really listening because I have to pee so bad.
Okay, who cares if you have to pee so bad? This is more important. Going to SundayCool.com and ordering custom apparel for you and your group is more important than your urinary problems, okay? Because listen, Sunday Cool, not only do they do the greatest merch, we also have a team of people that are artists, that are people that will want to take you step by step through your shirt order process. Anything you need, we got your back. We are here for you. And no matter what, and yet you're over there thinking about, I gotta go pee, like a little toddler, Josh, like a little toddler that can't hold his bladder. This Sunday Cool ad is more important than anything you've got going on inside that bladder of yours. Do you understand me?
Well, I don't have to pee anymore.
Yeah, Josh, grab a mop! This is insane. You can't keep doing this.
I told you.
You've learned. You've been house trained. This is insane. No more treats. That's it. You don't get no more treats. You don't deserve treats.
Dude, can you take away with treats?
Yes, I can. You can't do it. You just peed on the couch, Josh.
I didn't mean to.
You peed on the couch.
I told you I had to go.
I'm done.
Sorry.
That was a good ad.
That was a great ad.
Such a good ad.
You remember it, right? The ad that we just did?
Which one?
Exactly. That's it. Exactly.
Hello.
Oh, man. All right, LA. We're good. Let's just keep going.
Can we sing the song again?
second round.
Second
encore.
Dang. I have so many questions. Where do we even start? Oh, so Blurry Creatures. I heard you first on Blurry Creatures. Really cool episodes. They just had a guy on there that was talking about like the Noah's Ark and whatnot. And he mentioned the theory or the thought that potentially Noah and just everyone kind of before the flood were in fact like giant humans. What's your thought on that?
Very possible. Very possible. you know, we just don't know. We just don't have the data. You know, I've heard this before. Noah could have been 16, 20 feet, whatever, you know, and the Giants were 30, 35 feet. We just don't know. I mean, everything was wiped out. Yeah. I mean, we just, you know, supposedly the coffin is in that one location and it's huge. But there are, I mean, you just
don't know.
You just don't know. I mean, there's so much that we don't know, that we don't understand. I mean, this side of eternity, and, you know, unless something turns up, you know, I mean, right. We're one of the few people. I discovered it in the Catalina Island Museum, the Ralph Gooden giant. That's my discovery. Other people have taken it. It's on YouTube. It's Ralph Gooden leaning on a shovel, and in front of him is a skeleton in situ, recently excavated. Not a pile of bones. There's a skeleton. And we had three different researchers look at it and placed it right around 9 feet. Well, that's a Nephilim giant, and it has six fingers.
Whoa.
Yeah, six fingers.
So Catalina Island?
Catalina Island. It's in the book. It's in the On the Trail of a Nephilim book. Yeah, right there.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Where are those bones now? Can we visit a museum, perhaps?
Yeah. What is that museum's name? Smith and Wesson? No, that's not it. No, the Smithsonian took them all, and they deny everything, of course.
It's interesting that they have no interest in it whatsoever, but yet it's theirs, and they don't want to talk about it.
They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think there's something more sinister to...
Absolutely.
Like the collection of DNA from Nephilim, potentially, and the government, and what are your thoughts or theories on that?
When we broke the story on the Kandahar giant, that's our story. That's Richard Shaw and my story. It's our story.
No way.
That's our story. We broke the story on it. That's our film. We talked of a shooter. We talked of a second witness. We, you know, disguised their voice and blotted out their faces. That's our stuff.
Do you mind just giving a rundown of that?
Rick was on a show talking about our Watchers series. And as he's doing that, there's a caller that calls in. And so the show ends, but the host holds the caller over because they're talking off air. And this guy, we call him a shooter. Yeah, I saw a giant. I was in the Kandahar province. We shot it. And Rick goes, oh my gosh. And they get phone numbers, emails. I'm on the phone with this guy the next day. And I spoke to the shooter three or four times. I met him in person in Ohio. And then we flew him out to California. We filmed him. So we vetted him first. He showed me all of his cards, all of his military stuff, blah, blah, blah. And every time he talks about the encounter, one part he breaks down and cries. He did it three or four times before we even got him on film. And so the story is this, that it's 2002, 2001, somewhere in that. If I could go back and look at the exact, I just don't remember it. But right around in that. So we're in Afghanistan. We're looking for high-value targets. American military looking for high-value targets in Afghanistan. And a patrol is dispatched. They miss their rally point. They miss their second rally point, their third rally point. Nobody knows where these guys are. And they're gone. So the next morning, another patrol is dispatched to the same location to try to follow this trail, see where they go. So they begin to follow the trail in the Kandahar province. And they find themselves way up high, overlooking the valley. There's like this, there's like a cliff, very wide cliff, like a ledge, but it's not really a ledge. It's more like 20 or 30 feet, you know, across. So it's, you could camp there if you wanted to. And above that ledge is a cave. And as they're coming around the corner and they see all this, they start to see what looks like parts of radios, parts of uniforms, bones, blood. They're freaking out. And before anybody can do anything, a nightmare comes out of the cave, because that's what it is. A 12-footer, 14-footer, and he's got flaming red hair, six fingers, six toes. He is screaming at the top of his lungs. He is brandishing a lance. And he's like this. And one of the men break away and start firing at this thing. This thing moves with such agility and speed that it stuns the rest. Everybody's like, how is he moving this fast? And before anybody can do anything, this soldier is impaled and the giant's holding it up, screaming at the top of his lungs. Somebody yells, shoot him in the head, shoot him in the head. So So they open up fire, and they basically decapitate him. What does that sound like? David and Goliath, right? They decapitate him. Down he goes. He's dead. And at this point, the patrol kind of comes into their senses. The stench is unbelievable. The shooter told us, and I've never smelled this, and I don't want to, it's like a pile of corpses that have been sitting in the sun for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Right? The stench is unbelievable. And they're all, some people were actually heaving, throwing up from it. They radio him. The guy that's been lanced, he's dead. He dies. He succumbs to his wounds. And a big, you know, Jolly Green Giant helicopter comes in. They crate this thing up in a net. They fly him out of there. The patrol goes back, and they write everything down. And then they're told, no, that's not going to fly. Rewrite the story without the giant. So they do that. So you say, well, that's a colorful story, L.A. And it is. I get that. We have a second witness who was there a few years after the event who talked about the rumor going around the base about the giant of Kandahar. But you were not supposed to talk about it. And then when they were doing cave training, he's on film doing this. We disguised his face and his voice. He's on film doing this. So he's there and they're doing cave training, cave fighting training, right? And they're told, when you're in a cave and if you confront something, aim high. Excuse me, what? Whoa. Aim high? You mean like here? No. High, like 9 to 10 feet high. And they're all the soldiers are going like, what are we looking at here? This confirms. Years later, a gentleman called me up and wanted to get in touch. He never showed up. He said he was part of a government operation that received the giant bodies from overseas. And then
more than one.
And then processed them to go to Wright-Patterson Field for genetic, right? That's what they're taking, the super soldiers. Later on, years after, I mean, I've had people come up to me at conferences and just go, L.A., I want to tell you everything about the Kandahar giant. It's real. I know. I can't come on the record. I'm active military. And he just backs up and walks away. I was threatened by a guy from a deep state because of the work on the Kandahar giant. He shows up at a conference in Dallas and he goes, shows me his badge, and I have a bodyguard with me. And he goes, what kind of car do you drive? And at that time, I had a 1991. This is like circa 2015, circa 2016. So I was driving a 1991 Mercedes-Benz SL500. I called it the go-kart because I live up in the canyon. I bought it for next to nothing and restored it. It's just so much fun to drive. It's ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I bought it for like, I think, $8,000 or something, right? And restored it. It was really cool. And he goes, what kind of car? I go, I have a Mercedes SL500, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, does it have a computer? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, we can take the computer and make it so you can have a fiery crash. Where have we heard this before? Then he goes, do you have any children? I go, I have two daughters. One of them can go missing and never be found. And I go, and this is the spirit of living God, because this isn't me talking. This is him talking, my protector. And, you know, thou, O Lord, are a shield about me, right? And I go, yeah, I get it. You can crush me. I'm a worm. You got all the bells, but all the whistles. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. You can set me up. You can crush me like a worm. But you can't touch me unless the living God, the Most High God, allows it. And it was like a punch in his solar plexus. He actually took a step back like that. 3 months later, I'm driving the go-kart, driving the Mercedes up in the canyon. I'm making a left-hand turn. I hear, toop, like that. No power steering. And I'm going around like this. There's a cliff here. You go over that cliff, you're dead, right? And I hear this, toonk. I jam on the brakes, right? I slide into the area and come to a stop. And, of course, it takes a few minutes to get the adrenaline down a little bit. I pop the hood open, and I see that the timing belt is broken. But it's not broken. It's cut. And without saying a word, when the tow truck comes up toward me, I take the timing belt and I go, what do you make of this? I don't say a word. I just say, what do you make of this? And he looks at it and he goes, do you have any enemies? Right? Trump gets elected, it all goes away.
Oh.
Trump gets elected, it all goes away. And we were being audited by the IRS. Gee, I wonder what that's about.
Whoa.
Trump gets elected, the audit goes away. That's how the game is played.
What do you think their purpose? So you think it's the super soldiers? Do you think it's them just?
Yep.
How long do you think they've been aware of this stuff, this supernatural stuff, since the get-go, like for just a long time, and they've just been experimenting? Do you think?
That's always my question too. Is it intentionally evil, or is it just like tech that they're trying to advance in?
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. Why is it that we took how many Nazi scientists into our country?
Project Paperclip or whatever.
Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip. Why would anybody do that? These are all war criminals, right? Why would you even do that? They want the goods. Why is it that no American president has ever gone to Area 51? No American president has ever gone into Wright-Patterson Field to see what's there. Why? There's a secret government. There is a deep state. There is a secret government. They're trying to get to the bottom of it, you know, but it's a dog and pony show in Congress. I watch these UFO reports. I just sit there and laugh. This is all old news for someone like myself. But for someone like Anna Paulina Luna, she's never heard any of this because she's never studied it. And, oh, this is now they're interdimensional beings. Well, I've been saying that for 30 years. You know, so what's new? And I've been running this up at the flagpole because I know I'm being listened to. There's no doubt. I said, why not get 500 of the best of the best of the best soldiers that we got, Marines, what the best of the best, right? Split them in half, 250, go with Trump to Area 51, right? Knock on the door. We're coming in. That's it. We're toast. Take another 250 under J.D. Vance and some other people in both entourages and go to, right, Pat? We want to see what's here because they're being funded by taxpayer money and we don't know what's there. Mm. And they're not accountable to anything. Yeah. And Anna Paulina Luna stated that in that recent interview with Joe Rogan, that we have no idea. I'm told I can't look at this. Well, who are you? You're not an elected official. Why are you telling me I can't look at this information? Well, you don't have a need to know, and you never will have a need to know. This has been going on for decades, and it really it went south with the Kennedy assassination. Mm. And now we still don't know anything about. I'm hopping around like a frog on a hot plate. But why is it that we still don't know? You know, Anna Paulina Luna, two shooters. Why don't we know anything about this? Let me ask you something. If you've got files that you know are going to incriminate you, and you got people coming and looking at the files, what would you do? Trick question, A, B, C. A, get them all sorted out alphabetically so you can hand them over in a nice neat stack to the people who want to see them. B, right, go through them and highlight the parts that you think might be explosive and incriminate you. C, burn them in the trash dump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And that's why there's nothing there. Because they've had, 70 years or whatever it is, you know, to go burn, not 70, but 60-something, to and that's what they've done. You know, Oswald's been shot. Lee Harvey. How does Jack Ruby even get to Point Blank Range? I mean, is this just Elmer Fudd and the Keystone Cops? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, it's insane.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And then we have Butler. We know nothing about Butler. Mm-hmm. Nothing. This guy.
We just dropped it.
There you go. How and we know nothing.
Yeah.
This was a coordinated hit.
I don't doubt that at all. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. That was a lot. because we talked about the Kandahar Giant a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that's just completely fascinating. So have you talked to more people what do the locals say around the Kandahar?
I spoke to a man whose grandmother was the witch at Kandahar. And his father told him about his grandmother. She had a tattoo on her forehead. And she was a witch in the Kandahar. And she would bring livestock and tie them on stakes next to the cave.
Whoa.
To feed the giant. I also had information from a gentleman, ex-Special Forces, who was dispatched to the cave after they brought back the giant. They went in with a group of highly trained people. And they encountered three more. They killed one. The other two disappeared like that.
Whoa.
So like Sasquatch, they can jump. They can jump through time and space.
Is that when we're talking about portals?
Portals, yeah. Gateways, portals, yeah.
How do you make a portal?
Well, you get some cellophane and you stretch it between, it's like, you know, right?
Do you think they've always been capable of doing that?
Who?
Giants? Or do you think, here, Well,
let me put it this way.
Okay, yeah.
What happens to Philip after he preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch?
Yeah, transported.
He got transported, right? That's by location. Mm-hmm. If you say that in some Christian circles, you're banned from radio shows. But it's by location all day long.
Is that a heavenly type of
exactly
yeah, power that
but,
they were?
But they have the same thing, aren't they? They're fallen angels.
Yeah.
They can manipulate. In the abduction phenomena, you're laying in your bed, minding your own business. You're asleep. All of a sudden, you wake up and you realize there are entities in the room. You realize you're paralyzed, but you can move your eyes. Is that good? You can move your eyes like this, and you look over, and they're the Grays, the little guys. So you got one right over there in the corner. So you got the Grays, and except he's got five eyes or whatever. So the Grays are there. Next thing you know, you're being levitated off the bed, and you're trying to scream, but you can't. And your partner, if you're a man, you're looking at your wife going, what's going on here? If the woman's being abducted, she's, why doesn't he wake up? What's going on here, right? They don't wake up. They're switched off. And then you're levitating over the bed. That defies all the physics as we know them. And you float to the window. And you're thinking to yourself, is the window going to open? But the window doesn't open. You hear a buzzing sound. Your body begins to vibrate. You go through the window, through the closed window. That's impossible. You find yourself later on the metal table. They're doing sadistic experimentations with you. So that's the evil side. Let's look at what the biblical prophetic narrative states. Peter's locked up in a jail cell. He's chained to the wall. There's other people there with him. A good guy, an angel, comes through the wall. Get your things. The chains fall off. The other two people are squished off. The jail cell opens by itself. The angel's not going, hold on, I got a skeleton key somewhere. Oh, this isn't it. He's not doing that. The thing just opens up by himself. They walk out in the corridor. All the Roman guards are switched off. They're all asleep. The Roman guards would fall on their swords the next morning. If they were caught sleeping, that's it. You fell on your sword, which is why you didn't go to sleep, because you know you'd have to, impale yourself. They come to the end of the prison. The prison gate opens by itself. They walk out. Peter's a free man. The angel disappears. That angel's manipulating space, time, matter, and energy in ways that defy our physics, just like the bad guys do in the abductions.
Mm.
And yet the church is just oblivious to it. Just oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
I heard a rumor you have in your possession. There was a guy who had a GoPro on a gimbal on his back while hiking through the woods, and that something akin to a portal was caught. Can you give us that story? Because ever since I found out about it, it's been in my head.
Scott Carpenter, Bigfoot researcher. And I learned something from a Native American First Nation person. His name is Gabriel. And Gabriel said, expose, don't seek. Mm. Expose, don't seek.
That's
fine
good.
Line between the two.
Yeah.
I went to school. I'm old enough to be his father. But I went to school because Native Americans know things that we don't know. They just do. And I really value their input. Gabriel, if you're watching this, thank you. So I give you a shout out. So, expose, don't seek. Scott Carpenter's out there seeking. He had a camera on the back of his backpack pointing behind him. He's walking down there. I have the footage. He's walking down the road, the path in the woods. You see a perfect circle materialize. And in that is a squatch with a conical head down on one knee. So he's down on one knee, bent down like this. A time after that, Scott called me up. Because we were battle buddies in some ways. And he said, L.A., they're knocking on the sides of the house now. They've come across the property line. They're knocking on the side of the house. A couple of months later, not even, 6 weeks, 4 weeks later, massive cerebral hemorrhage in a restaurant. Killed over. They killed him.
Goodness.
I can show you pictures that's coming out of Canada as a researcher up there. He's seeking. And now they're knocking on his trailer at night. He's not long for this world unless he repents and gets out of there. I can't tell his name. But
that's a consistent thing. It's kind of small, but like just the knocking.
Yeah.
Like that's a consistent thing we hear all the time when we hear Bigfoot stories. Like it's just, I wonder what that is. Like it's almost like literally just knocking, like saying we're here. We're joining you.
So do you have the video?
Yeah, I'd have to find it. It's in my laptop in the car, but yes, I have it.
Could you show us it later, you think? potentially.
It might cost you some money.
We can do
whatever. Yeah, no, I will.
We got you some swag.
Yes.
Some t-shirts. Oh, that's fascinating.
That's crazy.
Golly.
It's because like the whole idea of portal isn't a word you learn in seminary. Portal isn't a word that is like in the evangelical circles. But early in our podcast, Josh had a theory, just the transfiguration and how that itself was like this window through space.
Absolutely. All day long.
And so it's all like day long. The concept is biblical.
Yes.
Like however, like whatever. What is the essence of a portal? Like an opening of right. vision through
a gateway.
Whatever it is. And so I think we get hung up with sci-fi words because they immediately, you know, you think tinfoil hats and whatever, but it's like walking through a prison wall.
Same thing.
Portal opening up. It's like something supernatural. Even the idea of possession, like we don't like to think about being possessed or battling against principalities and all this sort of stuff. But then we do, as the evangelical world, say that the Holy Spirit upon our conversion possesses us. And so it's like, these are, even though it sounds weird as heck, there are aspects of this that we can't deny as believers if we hold to the biblical narrative, if we hold to scripture. So it's, as a person went to Bible college, a lot of this is hard to wrestle with.
No,
but
admittedly,
as we've been doing the show, it's become something that's like more and more undeniable.
Yes.
So something to wrestle with for sure.
Let me give you a proof text for the portal. Okay. So, and you can read it right after we're done, you know, turn and read it. So Daniel's in Babylon and he's praying. And we all know the story. This angel was dispatched. Oh, 21 days. I was dispatched the moment your prayer came up to the throne room. So how does that work, right? We don't know. But the angel was dispatched, but he can't get through. He's got to fight the Prince of Persia, and he can't get through because the Prince of Persia is blocking him. Why can't he do an end run? You understand? Prince of Persia's here. Okay, I'll just go around you. Can't do that because there's a gateway. There's a portal there that he's got to go through, and that principality controls the Prince of Persia. That evil principality controls that gateway, that portal, that opening, that entrance, in order for him to cross the dimensional barrier and come down to where Daniel. Why can't he just do an end run? He can't. And what does he do? He has to go get reinforcements. So Michael and the boys come up. How do they fight? Supernatural technology in the Bible, right? They're not thumb wrestling, right? They're not doing that. They're not going ready, one, two, three, shoot. They're not doing that either. So what are they doing? They're fighting. Lightsaber swords? Could be. Can angels be wounded? More than likely, yes. Because how do you defeat them? They've got to be wounded. They can't die. They can't die. So they regenerate? Yeah, probably. But they can be taken out of the battle. Because in the book of Revelation, Michael and his angels fight with the devil and his angels, and the devil is defeated. Well, how do you defeat them? Is it like a rugby thing? Ready, go. No, it's not that. They're fighting. They're fighting. They're doing something. They can be wounded. They can't be killed, but they can be wounded, in my opinion. So, you know, you get this mystery. So Mike and the boys come and they get rid of the Prince of Persia, which, by the way, he's still there. Never been deposed. That principality still rules. Where is it? Iran and Iraq. I mean, it's the same guy with all the craziness. And so he gets through to Daniel after 21 days. That's a gateway. That's a portal. And it's biblical. And it's right there. And yet the church is oblivious to it. Why? Because we have a very truncated view of the supernatural. And, you know, just don't worry about those things. Denying, I'm going to worry about those things.
Denying the power thereof.
So are portals stationary? Like, would you say, like, there are certain ones that, like, that can't be moved, that are only in certain areas within this world that just stay in one location?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't. That would be conjecture. Part of me would say yes, that they're... And think about the rituals that are done, the blood sacrifices, the blood rituals that are done to open up these gateways and these portals. Because you'll notice that there's always blood sacrifice, and that opens up. What do you think you're doing in the Tower of Babel, for crying out loud? What do you think you're doing down in Peru, even fairly recently? All the human sacrifices. What about the 1 billion babies that have been aborted? If that's not a blood sacrifice, I don't know what is. And look at all hell's broken loose, right?
Yeah.
This is why the Lamb can sit there and open up that scroll, it got this from Gary Stearman, as a legal indictment to planet Earth. You just killed 1 billion people. You know, you talk about genocide and you people killed a billion unborn souls. You ripped them apart in your mother's womb. Somehow you think this is okay? Wrong. I don't think so. The wrath of a lamb, well deserved. Come down and get some bootay, babe. I mean, let's do it. And that's where we are. I remember reading about Moloch and all this stuff years ago when I first became a Christian. These people are crazy. And then I realized, wait a minute, they don't hold a candle to where we are. Mm. And we're butchering these things. You know, I got this from Jonathan Kahn's book. I didn't have time to ask him with it because, you know, he only had like an hour with him. But while the Democratic Convention was going on, there was a mobile abortion clinic right outside.
I saw that was doing vasectomies and abortions.
Abortions.
Yeah, it's crazy. There you go.
I mean, if that's not a blood sacrifice to their God, I don't know what is. And you guys can, you talk about people who are pro-abortion. What are you killing the children? Somehow that's okay. Well, it's not really a child. It's just the moment, and it's on film. It's on film. The moment sperm hits egg, there's an explosion of light. That's where the soul comes down, in my opinion.
Yeah.
God goes, boom, gives it the soul. Mm. And you're going to kill that thing now? Are you kidding me? I mean, we are so far. He's got to come back. That the good news is, folks, is this my camera here? Hi, guys. So, we've been pounding you over the head for the last hour and whatever minutes. But the good news is he's got to be coming back because you can't fix this anymore.
Yeah.
With AI, you don't know what's real. You have no idea what you're looking at. What's real, what's fabricated, what's fake, what's AI generated. Nobody knows. I mean, nobody knows. How can you be accountable? He's got to come back and take us out of here. Probably next Wednesday.
I'm going to glitch him out right as he says, you don't know what's real. Just go to the empty chair.
Oh, man. One of the questions I had, too, was... Sorry, we're just jumping all over the place.
It's on brand. Brand for the show.
Yeah. So fallen angels are still here. There's alien abductions. They're doing stuff with DNA, creating these hybrids of whatever. Do you think they're going to look like giants? Do you think they're going to look different than the old days of the giants?
They'll look like us, but here's something to think about. The hybrids can pass now for humans. How do we know this? Al Matthews talks about it. Other people have talked about it. In our film, elliamarzulli.com. In our film, we sit down with four abductees, two men, two women. And Al Matthews has this encounter with this woman who's a hybrid. I mean, there's no doubt. She can pass except for the eyes. She wears these dark glasses. Why? Why don't they get the eyes right? Because they can't. Because the eyes are the window to the soul. And these entities have no soul. The eyes are the windows to the soul. And these entities have no soul. And because they have no soul, they shapeshift, they go reptilian, they go yellow, they go black. They never get the eyes. They can't get the eyes right. Mm. They're not human. They're soulless beings. So hybrids are walking amongst us. And they can pass as humans. And I realize, some of you people watching this are going, that's just really too weird. What does this have to do with salvation? Because it has everything to do with salvation in the sense that, this is all part of the biblical narrative. This is the deep end of the pool. Salvation is way over here when you accept the Lord. So, if you're not a believer right now, just believe on him who was sent. That's Jesus. Believe he died for your sins. That's Jesus. Believe that God raised him up from the dead and you'll be saved. Confess it with your mouth and you'll be saved. You don't have to go to any place. Just do it right there and you're saved, for crying out loud. So here's the deal. We know from Daniel 2:43, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. So there it is. That's what's happening right now.
Hmm.
But we also know from the book of Revelation that the beasts of the earth will be set loose. The Therion, I got this from Estesdar. The beasts of the earth will be set loose upon the earth. What are the beasts of the earth? Who are the beasts of the earth? I'm quoting Russ here. They're not hamsters and giraffes. So what are the beasts of the earth? 1966, 1967, the Gimli-Patterson film. They film the first Squatch on film. It's a female. So it's not a guy in a gorilla suit. How many female gorilla suits were there back in 1966, right? Not there. And the thing turns like this. We all see the walk. Mm. Turns like this, you see the breast. Since 1966, Sasquatch sightings are through the roof. He's breeding an army. I have pictures. He's breeding an army. They have conical skulls. They're elongated skulls. They are huge, and they're everywhere. Not like in 66 where you saw one or two, maybe a year. The sightings are through the roof. People see them, and they come closer and closer and closer. In my opinion, conjecture, admittedly conjecture, these are the beasts of the earth. Oh. These are the Therion.
Do you think they're all Bigfoot-like, or do you think there's more of like the cryptid, like more different types of cryptid kind
mixed
of
bag? Yeah. Mixed bag. You could have your dogmen thrown in there, and you can definitely Sasquatch, but you could have dogmen as well. And, you know, who knows what else? I mean, I don't have all the answers. Nobody does. But what's coming is unprecedented. What's uncoming is what's coming is terrifying in some ways, because all hell's going to break loose. And when Satan releases the army, I mean, think about this. The Therion, the beast of the earth, kill how many people? I mean, what are we looking at here? So you get a 12-footer that can pop in and pop out, right? How do you kill it? How do you shoot it? You can't, right? And then this thing's here, and then it pops out. It's over there. And when it pops out over here, it just goes boom, 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 and four people are just dead like that, just decapitated. I mean, these things are huge, and they're powerful.
So what do you think the – so, like, we see, like, Native American depictions of, like, Bigfoot creatures, and I forget, I've talked about it before, but I forget what they refer to. It's like the grandfathers or something in a particular tribe's conviction, but then you get stories like the dog man. I know in Egypt they had dog-headed, humanish creatures.
Anubis.
So, like, historically and globally, so these aren't new things, other than Bigfoot, which in America we're super familiar with. Like, what are some of the other creatures you think globally that have been referenced throughout history?
Well, the Yeti, I mean, that's the abominable snowman, right?
Yeah.
I can't pronounce it. The one over in, I mean, it's basically a global occurrence. We only hear about it here in the Americas, but this thing is going on. The dogmen, absolutely. You know, werewolf, dogmen type stuff. I mean, I don't have all the answers. But stuff is being cooked up in Hell's Kitchen. And the reason for this is real simple. The enemy, the dragon, i.e. Satan, knows his time is short. He hasn't been cast to earth yet, but he knows the prophetic time clock. So what starts the prophetic time clock kick? Click, do it again. What starts the prophetic time clock ticking? I got it out. Thank you. Is the nation of Israel, May 14th, 1948. Amos 9:14 and 15, for all you anti-Israelites out there. And I'm not giving Israel a blank check here. They're just as corrupt as any other nation on the planet. And they've done stuff, who knows. But this is what Amos 9:14 and 15 says. So if you're an anti-Semite, if you're replacement theology, if you think these are Khazarians, think again. Amos 9:14 and 15 says this: I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. Check. They will build the way cities and inhabit them. Check. They will plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. Check. They will also plant gardens and eat the fruit from them. Check. I will plant them in their land, and never again will they be plucked up out of a land I have given them. So if these aren't the Jews, we got a huge thing going on here. But these are the Jews. These are the Jews. And we know that from the DNA from the Kohanim, right? The DNA, that you're the part of the priesthood. And people go, oh, he's the Khazarians. Excuse me, there's always been a Jewish presence in the Middle East ever since 2,000 years ago when they were kicked out. Always. And in the modern nations of Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and what's the other one? And Jordan, those were all created in 1917. They didn't exist before. They were all part of the Ottoman Empire. The Jews were all throughout that area. And when 1917, the Balfour Declaration came, they started trickling back in. 1948, they become a nation. Can a nation be born in a day? I mean, how much prophecy do we have to show people before they start going, maybe the Bible is true, maybe what was written will come to pass, maybe what was foretold is unfolding even as we speak. It's there. Wake up. It's happening. These are God's chosen people. They don't get a blank check from me, but they are the prophetic time clock which everything starts and spins around. And this is why all this is happening. The abduction phenomena starts right after 1948. Roswell is 1947. Why? Because their trigger, they know that the time of their revealing has something to do with nuclear events. This is why the UFOs, UAPs are obsessed with nuclear bases. They turn off, we broke the story on this, Robert Salas, that's in the Watchers series, where the UFO appears over the gate, the Maelstrom base and turns off 10 intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Yeah.
How is that done? They can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy. That's beyond our physics. That's what they do. They're obsessed with nukes. Why? Because that's their trigger. They know there's going to be a nuclear event on this planet that will go off sometime in the near future. That creates the greatest climate of fear that the population, the global population, has ever experienced collectively. That's when the space brothers show up. That's the coming great deception. That's it. And we are being, your kids and your grandkids, you're being indoctrinated every Friday night with ancient aliens, because that's exactly what they tell you. We were seeded here by an advanced race of extraterrestrials. They genetically manipulated early man. They started the world's civilizations. They started the world's religions. Now at this critical juncture in human history, they are back to usher mankind into a golden age. And they're all waiting for it. Yay, they're back. I mean, that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
That's what they're waiting for. That's the coming great deception. That's where we're headed. So all this other stuff, Sasquatch, it's all from Hell's Kitchen, and it all goes like this. All of it. It's all this dovetails
big,
together.
Big, long plan.
Yeah, it's Satan is into the long game.
Mm.
Yeah, big time.
Just like waiting for that one final move kind
That's
of thing?
It. That's it. He's just waiting. But we're close.
You think it's this generation?
I think it's closer than anyone thinks.
Yeah.
Way closer than anyone thinks. Way closer. I had a vision, which I'm not allowed to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I've only had two in 45 years as a Christian. One was maybe 35 years ago, something like that. My whole world is coming apart. My daughter's got leukemia. The church is imploding. You know, everything is wrong. The house is in foreclosure because of the medical bills. The company is, I was the head of a company, our cabinet shop. And that's not work. Nothing is working. Nothing is working. I'm in my van. I'm driving down our canyon, and I'm crying, and I'm looking through the windshield, okay? And Jesus' face appears in the windshield. I can see his face, but I can also see the road I'm driving on. How is that possible? It's not. You can't make this stuff up. His eyes are burning with love, right? His eyes are like flaming fire on his head of many crowns. He has a name written on himself that no one but he himself knows. The armies of heaven rode with him on white horses, Revelation 19. Eyes like burning fire, burning. That's what I saw.
Mm.
I'm looking at him, and everything just lifted. Everything, just all the oppression just lifted. And I just went, wow. And I wrote a word. I was a worship leader. I wrote a worship song, Holy Love. It's recorded. Beautiful piece. This woman sings it. Beautiful song. Holy love burning for us, holy love given just for us, the holy love of Jesus, the holy love of God. That's some of the lyrics. And so it's February this year. So now leap forward. Because I've only had two in 45 years. And as real as I'm looking at you guys right now, that's how this was. So I'm in Oklahoma. I don't like Oklahoma. I get PTSD when I'm in Oklahoma. Because when the fire happened in 2018, we moved to Oklahoma for like a few years until we rebuilt the house. And, you know, I was going back and forth. And I don't like it because it brings back all the PTSD. So I'm kind of depressed. I'm on my side. And as real as I'm looking at that camera right now, the Lord gives me this vision. And I'm like, just dumbfounded at what I'm looking at. I write a poem, and the Lord tells me specifically, you can only tell one person, that's Gary Stearman.
Oh.
So I go to Gary Stearman the next day and show him what I have. And then he shows me what he has, and they go like this. Go like this. But I'm not allowed to speak about it.
Why do you think God told you that you could only just tell him?
Because Gary had something that fit what I saw, and Gary needed to hear it.
Do you think it will be... I'm not, obviously not going to try to pressure you to say it, because if God told you not to say it, don't say it.
I can't.
But... do you think it'll be revealed, whatever you saw?
If he gives me the go ahead, I'll blab it immediately. I just think that with everything's going on, look at what's happening in the Middle East, where the five sheikhs, got this from Daniel Wright, the five sheikhs are making peace in Samaria, Judea and Samaria. They control upwards of 1 million people, and they've had it with the PLO, they've had it with Hamas and Hezbollah, they've had it. They want to partner with Israel. They want the blessing. They get that. And Chuck Messer used to say, and the Ezekiel 38-39 war is not an Arab in the bunch. There's no Arabs. They're all outside. Turkey, Russia gets the hook in the jaw. They don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. They're pulled down into it. Iran, which is, you know, Persia, that's been there. I mean, just, but, and they realize, Turkey realizes, and Iran realizes, and Russia realizes, no one can take Israel. Russia's pulled down into it. They don't want to do it, but they get hook in the jaw. They get pulled down into this thing. That's the Ezekiel 38-39 war. I think we're really close to that. I think with the advent of AI, that you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
You don't, we talked about this before. You don't know what's real anymore. How mm-hmm. can you be accountable? How can the Lord keep us accountable to anything? Mm-hmm. We don't know. He's got to come back soon. I don't know when it is, but it's got to be soon. And I'm not talking 20 or 30 years. It's got to be a lot sooner than that. I'm not a date setter. I really don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, my hands on, I'm not, you people go, oh, there we go with the rapture again. You guys are just a bunch of escape artists. Excuse me, 15 books, 32 films. How dare you say that to me? How dare you? And when I get back, I'm working on another book, number 16, and I'm working on number 33 film. So, and I do a show every day. So don't give me that excuse, because that's a bunch of nonsense. So there. But that
in your face.
In your face, buddy. Eh? But I mean, it's true. It's like, you know, my hands on the plow. What's my heart? Oh, Lord, come quickly. Take us out of here.
Yeah.
This place sucks. I mean, it's and you can't fix it anymore. You know, 25 years ago, I'd go, we can do this. We can take the kingdom for Jesus. No way. All those of you who cling tenaciously to that seven mountain deal, tell me how that's working out for you. Tell me how that's working out.
What's the seven mountain deal?
Seven mountain deal is we're going to take back the mountain of media. We're going to take back the mountain of education. We're going to take back the mountain, all these different mountains. Excuse me, it's just gotten worse. We haven't taken back anything. And the arrogance of this is we're going to take these mountains and then Jesus will come. Nonsense. Nonsense. This whole thing is collapsing all around us. The churches are Laodicean. Most of them are amillennial. They don't believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus. The book of Revelation, don't read that. It has nothing to do with anything. Go back to sleep. You know, don't believe in the Nephilim. Don't believe in the supernatural. We have a form of religion with denial's power, and I'm part of a church, and I love it. But wake up! You know, you got to wake up. We're the gifts of the Spirit. When was the last time anybody, any of you watching, sat in a church setting after worship? There was a great worship, and if the worship leader knows how to do this, most of them don't today. It's smoke and mirrors. We got the smoke machine going with lights. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. All right. Then please come forward and receive the offering, and that's it, right? When was the last time the worship leader brought you in to the threshold, and then the congregation just sat silently, shut up, get out of the way, let the Lord speak through his people, and mm-hmm. he will.
Mm-hmm.
He will speak to his people. But no, we can't. We can't have that. We got three services. If we get into that, somebody can stand up and say something. We don't know. We're not doing that. And that's what you're up against. That you're just up against this wall of no, this we have to have control so the Holy Spirit can't come in. Or you get the excess where it's not the Spirit of a living God that I know, and you get this crazy nonsense that's going on where people are running around on the microphone.
Spirit of confusion.
The spirit of confusion. When he shows up, usually what happens are people fall to the carpet and weep because of the sin is being revealed. They fall to the car. And I've seen this. I've led worship and done that, where you could watch it roll off the platform and you hit people, and they not going, but they would just drop to their knees and begin to weep because of the conviction. And you don't see that anymore. We have a form of religion and deny its power.
Mm. Amen.
Good stuff.
Crazy. Gosh,
it's a lot to ponder. Right
yeah, we're all over the map here today.
I'm pumped up.
Well, that was awesome.
Thank you, sir.
That
praise
was
the Lord.
Very insightful. A so lot of stuff. I'm actually going to have to watch this episode back. Maybe a couple times. That was awesome.
Thank you.
But praise if you're Lord. Down, right after this, we're going to do a Patreon episode, and I want to ask you about mermaids, if that's all right. Let's give them the old fish lips.
Yep.
All right, that's guys. Yes. Well, patreon.com/ninjas or butterflies.
Yes, you get behind-the-scenes content, early episodes, extra episodes, tons of stuff, guys. It's an absolute blast. Also, all blast. We also have YouTube membership, too, if you guys want to become a member. But, L.A., please tell us, plug everything. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah. I mean, there's 32 films, 15 books. 15 books is coming out. Go to lamarzulli.com. ElliotMarzulli.com. Links to everything. We have a Patreon account. We have our YouTube account. But we don't nearly have as many as followers as you guys do. But we got about 200.
Because we make a bunch of fart jokes.
That's true. Fart jokes are always good. Yeah. So we got about 243,000 subscribers. And, you know, I do a show every day. We do 7 days
That's
a week.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, a lot of gifts and, you know, a lot of guests, rather. And then I'm always on top of news items that are prophetic or on the trail of a Nephilim or UFOs. It's just stuff not going away. So, yeah, LAMarzulli.com.
Go check him out, guys, and go get his books. This one weighs about 50 pounds, so I'm excited to look into this one.
Yeah, it's amazing. Crazy. You could kill somebody with it.
A lot of pictures. I do love books with pictures in them. I'm a big fan of picture books.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, L.A.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
Support L.A. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you, guys.
Love you.
Bye.
All right.
What you're about to see may disturb you.
Ominous.
If any of you know what these
multi-decade UAP
dolphins are,
aliens,
you're gonna have a heart attack when you see your eyes
open. Bottlenose
fish sticks.
There's a massive police response.
Oh, the dolphin thing.
Oh my god.
Aliens. Dolphin style attack.
From now.
LA, 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 LA,